Welcome to the Internal Medicine for Vet Techs podcast. If you haven't joined us before, we're passionate about all things internal medicine and helping you become the best tech you can be. We'll be discussing interesting internal medicine diseases, how to work closely with pet parents, and how to become the go-to tech in your practice. Now, let's start the show.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you for listening and making a commitment to learning. We hope you are doing well. I'm one of your hosts. I'm Yvonne Brandenburg, joined by the lovely homesteading Jordan Porter.
Hi.
Hey.
I haven't done, well, I guess I have done quite a bit of homesteading stuff recently. Making kombucha today. It's on my list of things to do.
I, you know, can't get into it.
It's not for everybody.
I think for me, it's a texture thing. Like, I can't get over the mother or whatever the heck it's called. I don't even know what it's called.
But it's called a Scooby, and I take it out. But it's also, It's like really good for your plants too. So like, I'll take like a twisted up piece of paper towel or something like that and stick it in my little like drink bottles.
Okay.
And get the Scooby out, and then I put that in either my compost bin or in with like one of my plants because it's really good for them.
Okay. But I don't, some people are like, I can't. Mm-mm.
I mean, it is a booger. It is.
It is. It's disgusting. I can't. Sorry, guys. It's one of my squidges. Like, mm-mm.
Yeah. I get that. I'm actually like with my texture issues, I'm really surprised that I'm like, that doesn't bother me. Like it doesn't.
Interesting.
Can't eat oranges, but kombucha is no problem. Like
you can't eat oranges because of a texture thing?
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting.
Especially like orange juice with pulp. Oh, I can't. No.
All the weird things that we've found out about Jordan in this podcast.
Mm-hmm. I know. I'm an interesting person.
That's okay. I think we all are, right?
Yeah. I know there's somebody else like screaming at the podcast, like, I don't drink orange juice either.
You and the one other person.
Yeah, right, dude. I'm not the only person who doesn't do oranges because of the pulp. Like, I feel like that one's quite
No, common. I was going to say, I've definitely heard quite a few people talk about, like, they really don't like the pulp.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, can't stand it. I feel like one of those, like, I feel like a whale, like when you have to filter feed like plankton through your mouth. Like, okay. Just like that's how I feel when I drink orange juice with pulp in it.
Except whales like the plankton. So,
yeah, but like it just seems like an inefficient way to eat something. Just like sift it through. Yeah.
Dying. Just, that's so no. funny. That's so funny.
I'm just like, I'm the comic relief for this, like this show.
I think we both are.
Yeah.
Two things, just really quickly. One, my husband, he volunteered.
He did volunteer.
He's like, how can I help you guys? So we have passed on the podcast editing to him. And it's so funny to listen to him while he's like editing, because he'll just like laugh out loud and then he'll be like, oh my God, I can't believe you said that. I'm like, I don't even know what are you referring to?
I know.
So it is.
If only he knew funny. All the times that I would just re-laugh at ourselves.
Like every time I used to edit. I know. Like I do that too sometimes when I'm editing. It's funny. I'm like, oh, we're ridiculous. Yeah. Okay, that's great.
I'd edit and be like, oh, that was a good one.
Right? Oh my God. Oh, so funny. Good,
especially when we talked about megaesophagus and giraffes. That was like just iconic.
Oh, yeah. That's funny. Yeah. And then the second thing is, I was telling Jordan before we started recording, we're getting our baby chicks this week. So you may hear some peeping in the background, and it's not Jordan this time.
I know.
It's shocking. It's finally happening. I'm kind of freaked out about it. It's really funny. I'm just like, oh God, I don't know. Maybe I should just not do this. And I'm like, well, it's too late. They're ordered.
Yeah, you can do it. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
It'll be perfectly fine. And then you're going to have delicious chicken eggs in, I don't remember how many more weeks. And
4 to 6 months, yeah.
then you'll never be able to eat store-bought eggs again.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, it'll be
Yeah.
good. It'll be good.
Yeah. I mean, I think it'll be fun because like I can it's funny, like from my window where my office is, I can see the goats and I'll be able to see the chickens. So I'll be able to like look out at them occasionally and just be like, hey.
Hey, goats, hey.
Obviously they're not going out there now. They're, you know, the baby chicks are gonna be in my bathroom slash in my office. I don't know, 6 weeks, something like that. 4 to 6 weeks,
Yeah, it
six to
depends
eight
on your
weeks.
weather, but yeah.
I don't know. We have snow today, so
Six
maybe
weeks.
it's six
Six
to eight
weeks is
weeks.
ex six to
Oh,
12 weeks, just depending on your
right.
weather.
I know it's so crazy because I think I was just saying like the last time we recorded and we did our weather talk, it was a beautiful weekend. It was like 65 and I was outside and I was very excited. And I was like, great, I'm getting the stuff in the chicken coop done. And this weekend, the plan was to work on the roof. And then Thursday, it started snowing quite a bit. It has snowed since Thursday. So, yeah, weather is bizarre.
Yeah, we got a lot of rain. My ducks love it.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
I do think I'm gonna go get more baby ducks though. I need more females. My female to male ratio is quite off.
Oh, I have no
So.
idea what I'm gonna get. You guys will be just as surprised as me. I'll let people know.
Right. I know, I thought about incubating some duck eggs, but I was like, I don't think I want to take the chance. I think I just want to go buy females. So I was like, I just.
Yeah.
So.
So funny. Quick reminder, technically, this episode I think is releasing on March 5th, 2024, just in case you're listening to this way in the future. And on the 9th, which is Saturday, March 9th, we are doing our monthly CE. And so we're doing this month will be on immune-mediated polyarthritis. And of course, if you're an Internal Medicine for Vet Techs membership member, it is included in your membership. It's free. So you just sign in with your or register and sign in with your email that you use for the membership. If you're not a member, you can still join us. There are tickets for non-members. I think, what is it, $9.99 right now?
Yeah.
And so you can join us. It's 1 hour of race-approved CE. So you can definitely get some CE, especially for those with internal medicine needs. Because I was noticing some posts on Facebook about it being that time of the year where partial applications are being sent in, which is crazy. So it made me
Oh
think
my
about CE.
goodness.
I know. I'm like,
Yeah.
whoo, I can't believe it's already that time of the year.
Yeah.
Next month, so April 2024, so on the 13th, I believe we're doing it. We're going to talk about pain. So we're doing pain, recognizing and advocating for our veterinary patients. Same thing, if you're a member, it's free. If you're a non-member, just purchase a ticket and you are welcome to join us. So yeah, CE, which is fun.
Yeah. And then don't forget to check
Great.
out Love Huvet. She's got some new designs that she just launched recently.
Ooh, I
And you
haven't
guys
even
are
seen
gonna,
them yet.
yeah, you guys are gonna love them just because like they're perfect. The first new one is your Maine Coon is a DLH. And so
I think I need to get
it,
that.
right? It's a nice play off of their previous Your Doodle is a Mutt design. And so it's just a good way, show off your sass for some long-haired but frequently mistaken feline friends. She has that design in t-shirts, sweatshirts, stickers, and even a magnetic bookmark. And so
Ooh.
definitely go check out some of those designs. There's three new designs. You can find two for her headbands, scrub caps, scrunchies, and even stethoscope covers, but so just be sure to go check it out at lovehuvet.com. That's LOVEHUVET.com. And then use the code IMFVT10, so IMFVT10, to save 10% on your order.
So fun. I love her designs. They're super cool. And because you probably heard us talk about it, another big reason I love her company is she's a technician. Like, she's one of us. So we love
One of
supporting.
us, one of us.
Right. We love supporting technicians with all the side hustles everybody does and just branching out and making our community cooler. And I think she does that
Definitely cool.
with her stuff.
I like it.
All
All right, what are we
right.
talking about this week? We're talking about a cat disease, so
Yep, we're
you
talking
know
about a
I didn't
cat
do these
disease,
notes.
so Jordan will be a little bit quieter for this one.
Yep.
So this week we're talking about Khaleesi virus in cats. And it's funny because Jordan and I, the whole time we were talking about doing this episode, we kept saying, I swear we've talked about it before. And I think we've mentioned it in passing with some of our other diseases that we've talked about because Khaleesi virus is part of what they call the feline respiratory disease complex, which includes feline viral rhinotracheitis, so FVR, feline herpes virus. And I think we covered both of those, like herpes and FVR, which is probably why this sounds familiar. It also includes obviously the Khaleesi virus, chlamydia felis, and Mycoplasma felis. So those five diseases form this respiratory complex. And the reason why is because they are very similar in how they present in their viruses. Well, they're not all viruses. Anyways, they're all very similar with how they present. So they kind of get lumped into this complex. And you can have co-infections. I think that's the other reason why. So it's part of that, which is probably why we've kind of mentioned it already. So feline Khaleesi virus, it belongs to a large family of viruses in the Khaleesi Viridae, which sounds super fun.
I like that. Sounds like a fancy cat.
Khaleesi Viridae. Oh my God, that would be horrible if you named your cat that. Khaleesi Viridae. What's her name? Khaleesi. But you'd have to spell it with a K to kind of make it Game of Thrones like, You're welcome.
You
I want to see
know,
the kitten that gets named this.
I've actually never seen Game of Thrones, so, but like, I know the
Up.
reference.
Oh my God, Jordan, you're gonna have to watch this now.
I know, I know. I'm
What?
one of those people who like holds off on like watching any of those popular shows until like I have literally nothing else to do. And then I'm like, all right, let's give this a try. Let's see if it's worth the hype.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way, but like I read the books before they even became the show, so I knew what I was getting
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
into. So I
That's
was like,
fair.
I was really excited that they were making it into the show because I had read the books because I'm that kind of nerd. But yeah, every time I think of Khaleesi, like the virus, I think of Khaleesi, the dragon queen. So. So back to the Khaleesi, the
Yep.
I thought this was interesting. I didn't realize this. And so this is a little fun fact for you guys. We're not going to talk about human stuff, but this is one that I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. So the human virus norovirus, which I associate with cruise ships, which is really horrible, but I do. Because that's where I've heard it on TV is like an outbreak of norovirus. Norovirus is it's in the Khaleesi Viridae family, and that's the one that it's GI disease, but it's a virus. So it's related to feline Khaleesi. Having said that, feline Khaleesi virus is not a zoonotic disease, so it is not transmittable to humans. Just so everybody is aware, that's not what I'm saying. I just thought it was interesting that they were related. So yeah, that's your fun fact about the Khaleesi Verde family. Yeah, I'm a nerd.
You
It's
are.
fine.
But we love
So
you for it.
I know. Oh,
You
thanks.
started a whole business around it. It's great.
Right. So interesting, the feline Khaleesi virus, it is like most viruses in that it mutates and changes as it is out in in nature, right? We know that viruses mutate, but this is one that does mutate pretty readily. There are several different strains of the feline Khaleesi virus that circulate in both domestic and wild cats. Because they do mutate so easily, there's a lot of new strains that may not be fully covered by existing vaccines. Because it is one of our, when we talk about like FVRCP, C is the Khaleesi virus, so it is vaccinated for, and that usually keeps it pretty well at bay. But because of the fact that it mutates so easily, it may not be covered every time. The just like we think of like parvovirus, right? The different strains can have different severity. Most of the feline Khaleesi virus strains just is like mild disease, so mild upper respiratory. But there are, this is so crazy. So
There's always a
sometimes,
but.
yeah, sometimes there's this mutation of the strain that just kind of happens and it causes serious disease, like bad disease. They're in the first kind of big outbreak was in recorded in Northern California in 1998. And this was, and they call it FCV VSD, which is feline Khaleesi virus associated virulent systemic disease. And basically what happens is like multiple organ damage and even potentially death for these cats that get
No big
this
deal.
crazy strain. And
What?
it's crazy because I have 100% run into SCV VSD. I was working, and this is probably where like Khaleesi just freaks me out. I was working at my general practice, and so this must have been sometime, I'm going to say 2008, 2010, something somewhere in that time frame. I can't exactly remember. I worked there 7 years, so who knows when
Yeah, that was when I
it
was like in tech school.
was. But yeah, okay,
I
whatever.
was 17, just so you know.
Got it. We all remember Jordan. You're 10 years younger than me.
I
No, and I was still a baby tech at that point, right? Like I didn't
know,
know
yeah.
what, I'd never heard of Khaleesi virus before this. So we had this insane outbreak with patients, and I remember we like the hospital was full. Like we had so many cats that had this Khaleesi, and at the time we had hospital cats. And I think we had at the time like four or five hospital cats, and they were all older and they all had, comorbidities, because why would you have a
That's
hospital
why
cat
they're
that's
there.
not
Yeah.
jacked up?
Yeah.
And I think if I remember correctly, like we had a couple of cats that ended up with organ failure, and it sucked because I think we lost two of our hospital cats to it.
Oh, that's
And it
so
was just like
sad.
crazy. We were like, holy moly. And unfortunately, that kind of sealed the deal for hospital cats. Like
Yeah.
we didn't have any hospital cats after that, because we were like, first of all,
It is like,
there's a lot of liability with having
yeah.
hospital cats. And so, as much as I love having hospital cats, like that situation made me realize how bad of an idea it is to have a hospital cat. I mean, there was
Yeah.
other situations, but that specific one was like horrible. And we think part of it too was obviously they contracted it from a cat that came in with it. And because they were
Yeah.
the hospital cats, like they went everywhere. So, by the time we realized they were sick, they had already spread it. And so it was just
Yeah.
a bad situation. And like we had a boarding
Yeah.
facility, and like it was just It was a nightmare.
Oh
Yeah,
no.
it was so bad.
It's like the textbook example as to why you don't have hospitalized cats
Yeah,
or
yeah,
hospital cats.
yeah. And in like it solidified
It's
my
so
thought on it.
unfortunate. Yeah, it's so unfortunate. It's
Yeah.
like I love a good hospital cat. I really, really do. But
Yeah.
yeah, like the risk of infecting them and infecting others is just so high.
Yeah. And like we, oh God, I loved our cats. Like
You love all cats.
I no, I mean I didn't at the time. I was scared of cats at the time. Like it's kind of crazy.
Oh, okay.
So we
My
had,
favorite hospital
I'm gonna
cat I ever had
say,
was a cat named Sherbert.
Sherbert. Oh my God. So we
Yeah, he
had
was.
Batman, Chevy, and Fanny. And I'm sure you could probably figure out Chevy and Fanny why we ended up with them. Chevy was hit by a truck, and so she had like back end paralysis, so we had to express her bladder all the time. And then Fanny was caught in a fan belt, but she ended up being relatively fine. She was just a huge chunk and ended up with diabetes because everybody would feed her. And then
Yeah,
Batman,
Sherbert had diabetes too, which
yeah.
don't you, like, come on, tell me how that's just fitting. Like,
That Sherbert, that's hilarious. Yeah,
he was a fat, long-haired orange cat named Sherbert
Fanny
with diabetes. Like,
was a giant. She was so fat. White domestic short hair. She was cute, and she was a sweetheart. And she would sit up in reception. She had like her own like little bed in reception, and so like all the clients
oh.
knew her. It was really funny. But I'm pretty sure if I remember correct, it's been forever. It's been 20-ish years at this point, right? Or maybe 15. It's probably been
I was like,
15
wait,
years.
2008 was not 20 years ago. Don't do that to me.
I mean, pretty close.
Getting there.
16 years ago. I think if I remember correctly, I think we lost Fanny and Chevy from it, which was crazy. And it anybody who's ever had a hospital cat and like lost one, you know how hard that hits your hospital because it's like
Oh
the
yeah.
hospital pet, you know? And
Yeah.
yeah, it was crazy. So I
Well, and
will never
even
forget
clients
Tracy
are upset
Myers.
about it, and
Yeah, yeah.
then you got to tell clients, and then they consistently ask because they haven't been in months.
Yeah, I know. I'm
So.
sure. I'm sure that the front staff bore the brunt of that, and like,
Oh
I
yeah,
can't even
100%.
remember it, like, or I can't
That
even
was.
imagine how bad that was.
Yeah, that would
Yeah,
suck.
yeah. So I assumed that Khaleesi was always that bad until I learned more about Khaleesi, and I was like, oh, it's not this virulent, like everyone will die disease. No, it's usually a mild upper respiratory. So yeah, kind of crazy thinking about that. So what is Khaleesi virus normally? Normally, really kind of what happens is typically it's a common virus. It is actually one that's pretty common in cats. They actually think, especially in larger cat settings, so shelters, pet stores, catteries, there's a thought that somewhere between 25 to 40% of cats actually may be carriers of
I believe it.
Khaleesi. And again, it's one of those things like typically it's a very mild thing. And it's kind of like chicken pox for us, right? Like once you have it, it's in your system.
Yeah, it's just kind of like the feline herpes virus, just like it's, yeah, could get
Yeah,
bad.
exactly. Yep. Yay,
Meh.
viruses. So the way that the virus spreads is direct contact through saliva, nasal mucus, and ocular discharge of infected cats, and then aerosol droplets, right? So cats sneeze, we spread the virus. Just like any other virus that we catch when we have a cold, we spread it through our secretions.
Secretions. Yeah.
Yep.
Yummy.
Yay. So typically, the way that we can detect it is through urine, feces, or blood. So we submit those to the lab. Cats can shed the virus for about 2 to 3 weeks after being infected. There are some cats that end up being long-term carriers. that can shed the virus on and off for months. Another reason why a hospital cat is not a great thing, because they can spread it for a long time, depending on if they're a long-term carrier.
But they're cute.
They are cute. It is a relatively hardy virus, unfortunately. It is developed to stay in the environment for months at a time. So we need to be very carefully or very careful when disinfecting. So we want to handle infected cats as minimally as possible, and definitely washing our hands if we go to, touch another animal. The things that come in contact with the cat's fluids should be disinfected as well. So food bowls, litter boxes, bedding, those should all be cleaned and disinfected. Those are sources of infection. So we just need to be careful when we're cleaning that in hospital situations or catteries or shelters or anything like that. So typically what happens during the infection, it is an upper respiratory complex, typically. So usually we get fever, sneezing, ocular nasal discharge, and that could be either mucopurulent, so you could get the green snot, or it could just be clear, just to kind of depends. They will get conjunctivitis, rhinitis, and they also start salivating. And the reason for the salivation is they can actually get some pretty severe ulcers in their mouth. There are some cats that will develop ulcerative stomatitis. So that's something to just kind of throw in the back of your head, that stomatitis potentially has some correlation to Khaleesi virus, depending on what's going on.
That sucks.
I know, right? I was like, ooh, cool.
Like, let alone like not being able to smell your food, but it hurts to eat it. Like, oh.
Especially like the virulent one that we had a bunch of cats with feeding tubes just because they weren't eating. So it was no fun. They definitely will decrease or stop eating depending on how their ulcers are. They'll hypersalivate because they don't want to swallow. And the thought is actually most of the issues are like in the back of the mouth. So like
That's the
the mucous membrane.
worst.
Yeah. Like,
That's
oh,
just
this is
like when you have like,
horrible.
sh that's like, that's the worst. It's like strep throat. Like, hurts to swallow, like anything hurts to breathe.
They will typically get fevers, so on up to like 103 to 105. So not crazy, but they'll definitely have some fevers. Definitely will fluctuate. They can have epiphora, phimosis, or blepharospasm, conjunctival hyperemia. So you'll see it in their eyes, right? So you'll see the conjunctiva. They'll definitely, be squinty and have all sorts of stuff going on there. Typically, signs will be there for about 5 to 10 days in the milder cases. If it's a severe case, can be up to 6 weeks. So that's also pretty crazy. Like you can have like a normal cold for about a week, or you can be sick for about 6 weeks, which is crazy. Typically, again, mortality is low in these patients. Prognosis is good. It's self-limiting. It's a virus. They just need to kind of ride it out for your standard Khaleesi virus, not your crazy virulent diseases. So not horrible. The strains that are typically tested for, we use serum to test for it. There could be some deep tissue, so like the oral cavity or in the lungs, because it can potentially spread to the lungs. So we just kind of have to be aware of that. So one of the things, like when we are talking about deep tissues in the lungs, is they can get pulmonary edema and interstitial pneumonia. So those are going to be your more extreme cases, obviously. So that's something to kind of keep in mind. The other really weird thing that is out there, which is the craziest thing to me. So it, clinically, when we're talking about upper respiratory stuff, so feline viral rhinotracheitis or CLESI, those are the two that are so similar that it's really hard most of the times to like look at a patient and be like, oh yeah, it's this or this one. You usually have to test for it to see what's going on. However, there's some strains of the viruses that can cause transient limping in cats, which is
What?
bizarre. I
That's the
know.
most, like, pick the most random symptom
Right? So crazy.
for a respiratory virus.
For a respiratory virus, you get some limping. I don't know why, but there's some strains that do it. So it's typically a transient fever with alternating leg lameness, kind of like a IMPA, but probably not. And then there's pain on palpation of the joints. Typically, the limping occurs in kittens that are like this 8 to 12 week old age, and they resolve on their own without really treating for it. But we don't know why. And oddly, vaccination for the strains that we know that kind of cause this does not help if they're going to have limping syndrome, just really freaking weird.
That is weird.
So, yeah, limping in cats. Apparently, Khaleesi could be on that. So, when we're talking about the oral lesions in cats, typically it's considered lymphoplasmacytic gingivitis and stomatitis. This is probably, we probably also covered Khaleesi when we were talking about stomatitis, because I know it was probably mentioned in there.
Yeah,
Superficial
probably.
lesions in the mouth will typically heal on their own pretty rapidly. It's not like they're permanent ulcerations. They tend to heal on their own, and they typically will have their appetite return in 2 to 3 days, kind of once they've started getting these lesions. And that's normal. Typically 7 to 10 days and they feel better. So again, self-limiting, pretty straightforward. The common like places that you'll see those characteristic lesions is going to be on the tongue or the hard palate. And then you might see vesicles and then rupture of those
Wow.
vesicles in the mouth. Yeah, gross.
Nice.
It's pretty disgusting. Ulcerations can also be found on the nasal septum. So you can see kind of on their nose, they may have lesions. And then those similar kind of lesions, when we're talking about really virulent strains of the Khaleesi, that's what is sometimes found in the epithelial cells of bronchioles and alveoli. So that's where you get that pulmonary edema and the interstitial pneumonia, is that similar kind of ulceration is also then happening in the lungs, which is pretty crazy.
Ouch. Oh my God.
I know, I'm like, ooh.
I felt my lungs like squeak at the thought of that.
Yeah. I mean, thankfully, they are typically self-limiting. So again, it's just a couple of days, but still a couple of days of like weird stuff happening in your lungs. I'm sure not pleasant. So again, 5 to 10 days in mild cases, 6 weeks or more in severe ones. The problem with this too, because we're talking like open lesions, definitely secondary bacterial infections are very common for those. So we just need to be careful and just monitor them very carefully for any co-infections. Cats typically will lose weight because they don't want to eat. So we just need to be careful that they don't get like hepatic lipidosis. And if there are pregnant cats can get abortions from being infected with the Khaleesi. So just kind of keep that in mind if you're breeding your cats, or if you're like in a shelter setting, rescue setting, and you've got a pregnant cat, just be aware if Khaleesi does hit your shelter, rescue, whatever, that you want to be really careful with those pregnant queens. Most of the cats will recover completely from Khaleesi. Some do kind of develop a chronic form of gingivitis, that causes thick and inflamed gums that makes eating painful. So again, kind of in that stomatitis family, right? That could potentially be what's going on. Really young cats and elderly cats are definitely going to be the ones that suffer from the most severe symptoms. Again, your immune system's a little bit more compromised at those ages, so that's just something to think about. If you do have this virulent strain of feline Khaleesi virus, just know that you're going to have way more severe symptoms, high fever, swelling of the head and legs,
Oh
crusting
my
sores,
goodness.
I know, hair loss
What?
on the nose, eyes, ears, and foot pads, which is what I saw, which is, I thought that's what Khaleesi was. And then you can also see, because there is potential for liver damage, they could become jaundice. You can see bleeding under the skin, the GI tract. And then if it is virulent, it's fatal in up to 60% of cats that develop the virulent disease.
Oh
Yeah, it's, dude, the virulent one is no joke, hardcore. Like we, I can't, I don't even remember how many cats we had that died from that particular outbreak. Like it was pretty insane. We were like,
that's
what is
wild.
happening? And
I'm gonna guess
again,
around 60%, but
yeah,
yeah.
and like it was pretty intense. Like, and again, I thought that's what Khaleesi was for the longest time, until I heard that it was normally just a generic, like, little upper respiratory infection for
I
cats.
mean, way to scare a vet professional into like promoting vaccination if you just scare him with the worst version of the disease
Oh
possible.
my God. Yeah, dude, that was like, and that was the first time I really like heard of Khaleesi. I was like, oh, there's, it's in the vaccine, whatever. But no.
Yeah, I bet you hardcore started pushing the vaccine like once you like saw a case like that. You're like,
Yeah. When in
actually,
G
this
yeah, in
vaccine's
GP, I
super
was like,
important.
ah, yeah. Yeah. And you know what? I mean, thinking about it as a veterinary professional who's been in it for a long time, I'm sure I saw Khaleesi before that,
Oh,
because it
yeah.
just presents as like an upper respiratory, right? But
Yeah.
like, it's so self-limiting that most of the times we're not really even testing for it.
I wouldn't say, think of all the just mild upper respiratory cases that we
Yeah.
don't truly give a diagnosis on.
We're
We're
like, yeah,
just
it's
like, yeah.
probably a flare-up of their herpes. It could
Yeah.
be Khaleesi. Like, there are some other ones. It's not always herpes, but so for diagnosing it, obviously, most of the times clinical signs, which is, especially when you've got that mild version, right? We're like, oh, it's an upper respiratory disease. Whether it's herpes, whether it's Khaleesi or rhinotracheitis, most of the times, because it's so self-limiting, we don't test for it. But if you do have one that like lingers for a while, like maybe you have one that sticks around for six weeks, right? And you want to know what it is, you're going to send off conjunctival swabs, are usually the way that we get that. And then they do a PCR test on it that's going to look for Khaleesi virus. I'm pretty sure we would do like the feline upper respiratory panel is the one that we
Yeah, that's
would
what I was
do,
just
because
thinking.
it has all the stuff in it.
Which is funny because, I mean, like, when I was a younger tech, every time we do the upper respiratory panel for a stomatitis case, I like was confused at first, and I was like, this now it just makes way more sense.
Yeah, you're like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of, so test results should be interpreted carefully. A lot of cats can be healthy, and then if they've been exposed to the virus, can test positive, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they are experiencing Khaleesi. So we just have to be kind of aware that it's not a guarantee. But I mean, if they're having clinical signs and they don't look healthy and it comes up positive, like that's a pretty strong
Yeah.
indicator. The other thing too is, if we do vaccinate with a modified live virus, that can cause a false positive. Totally makes sense.
Definitely makes sense.
Yeah. The other thing too is, you can get false negative results
Of
if,
course.
yeah, if you're swabbing and testing more than a week after the start of the infection. So, when they come to us in internal medicine.
So once it's had time for the body to actually try to get it under control.
Right. And it's not shedding in the mucous membranes. Now, you can have these cats, like we kind of talked about, that shed up to 6 months. So you could potentially have it. So, just know we kind of have to take it as a full picture, which usually our internal medicine doctors do, but just know that. The tests do not distinguish between your kind of mild Khaleesi virus and your virulent Khaleesi virus. So unfortunately, we don't
Why
really
would you need
have,
to know if it's got the
right?
bad
I
streak or
mean,
not?
at that point, it's like, okay, they have Khaleesi. Hopefully, it doesn't get crazy, right? As far as treating for Khaleesi, it's self-limiting disease. There's no true treatment for it. It's a virus, right? So we do want to treat symptomatically. We want to support their immune system as much as possible. Ideally, they can recover at home, unless, of course, they need more intensive nursing care. So, do they need a feeding tube? Do they have pneumonia and we have to give like vaporizer or, any of that stuff? So again, it just depends on how severe they have issues with it. You can use vaporizers and other drugs to help break up the mucus to reduce congestion. That's also an option. You can use a nonsteroidal anti-inflammatory to help with the fever as well as mouth pain. Broad spectrum antibiotics if you've got some secondary like bacterial infections. The other thing I know that we talked about in our clinic because of oral ulcerations is like the miracle mouthwash. Like you can use that for these kids that hopefully it'll just make their mouth feel better. But congestive cats, right? We want to make sure they're eating. So strong smelling foods, soft foods that's not going to be really hard for them to, chew, swallow, that kind of thing. Heating it up a little bit to make it smellier. If they're not eating, they may need to get IV fluids and nutrition. If it's been a couple of days, because we don't want them to go into hepatic lipidosis over being sick. And then if it is the virulent disease, again, hospitalization and then just treating those symptoms as needed. So fluids, antibiotics, pain meds, that kind of stuff, nebulizing oxygen, again, depends. Vaccines. So the vaccine for Khaleesi is it does cover a really wide range of strains of Khaleesi. However, because it's a virus and it likes to mutate, we kind of already said it, does not cover against every possible Khaleesi's virus that's out there, but it should decrease the severity if they do get exposed to it or limit how bad it is. So again, it's a good idea to vaccinate. So vaccines. So we typically will give the combo, so feline combo, which is Khaleesi, herpes, panleukopenias, kind of our normal, so FVRCP. This is typically either injection or nasally. If it is nasal, it's usually the modified live. So that's, we just know that if we're going to give that one, we're not going to test for it right away because, they can have this little bit of a transient thing going on. Typically, if we are giving vaccines, it's good to warn clients too that they can sneeze for 4 to 7 days after getting the nasal vaccine because it is modified live, so it's activated that immune system that's in the nose, which is a good thing. Typically, kittens, when they reach 6 to 8 weeks of age, that's when we want to start vaccinating them every 3 to 4 weeks, with their final given at 16 weeks. So your standard vaccinations. If it's an older cat, usually it's just 2 doses, 3 to 4 weeks apart. So if you're, like that's what we did with our cats. Once they got spayed neutered, we did the vaccines then, and then we just came for their follow-up. Typically, you do want to booster every 3 years, especially if they're in a high-risk multi-cat environment, or you can do annually. So, like in a big cattery or shelter setting, annually is totally fine just to help prevent some of these infections. If you've got a cat that's recovered from Khaleesi virus, they should also get boosters because, again, they're not protected from those other strains of the virus because, again, it's mutating all the time, which is super fun. So, just kind of some prevention too. It's just like if you have a multiple cat household and one or more has been treated for Khaleesi, then you should quarantine those animals. You want to make sure they have clean food and water bowls, litter boxes, and everything's cleaned pretty frequently because it is contaminated with the virus. So, you don't want to keep that virus going. Daily bleach is one of those great ones for killing the virus. So talking to clients about having that. And this is something that is recommended. And I got these recommendations from Cornell University. Don't kill the messenger. If you have a cat that is Khaleesi's positive, ideally you remove the other cats from the home during that period that they are going to be shedding, which is about a month. I don't even know how you would do this. Like, just be like, hey, can you pet sit my cats for a month? Like, I don't know, but that is what is recommended. And then if you have a carrier, that should also be disinfected. This is one of the other things that's really important is if you do have a new pet coming into the house. So, a new cat, right? You do want to isolate them from other cats for 1 to 2 weeks just to make sure they're not going to have a flare up of respiratory disease, whichever flavor that is. So, that is why one of the reasons why they do recommend doing that, just to make sure that nobody's having a flare up. Because, again, that situation, their immune system is going to be compromised, all that fun stuff. So, I know that is the recommendation is you kind of isolate them, slowly introduce them. It's part of the reason is so that we don't have flare-ups of things. Yeah. So a lot of this information came from the Cornell University Baker Institute, which I thought was interesting. I'd never really heard of the Baker Institute, but the Baker Institute, they do a lot of research into viruses and stuff like that. So it's definitely a really good resource. Of course, Merck Manual, we always talk about Merck Manual. And so those are definitely places to look. And there is a handout that is from the Journal of Feline Medicine and Surgery from 2013. If you, I think we'll put the link in there, but it's a fact sheet. So it's kind of cool to just, have that on hand. I don't know if I would necessarily give that to owners, but I know Merck Manual has a client version, like a pet owner version of the Khaleesi virus. So that's definitely a good resource for clients. But yeah, Khaleesi. Who knew that it was such a mild disease until it's not?
Except for the few cases.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for teaching us, Yvonne.
Hopefully you learned a little bit.
I definitely did.
Anything else we need to cover before we get out of here?
I don't think so.
Well, we hope you learned something this week, and we would love for you guys to join us next weekend on Saturday for our monthly CE on IMPA, which weird. I mean, I guess if you have a cat that's weirdly limping,
Randomly, but also sneezing.
right? And be like, oh my God. That's a new one for me. So that's interesting. Another reason, if you don't use steroids, you can use some anti-inflammatories to help with transient limping in Khaleesi virus.
So weird.
I know. That is
So
crazy.
weird.
Diseases do what diseases want to
Yes, that's freaking for sure. That's
do.
It's just like when you think you know a disease, and then
And then
they
you're
just
like, just
really,
kidding.
they just show you who they really are, and you're just like,
Oh my God, so
anyway.
true.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for listening, making a commitment to learning, and we will chat with you guys next week.
Have a
Bye.
good week.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Internal Medicine for Vet Techs podcast. If you like what you heard, we'd love for you to share with someone you think might enjoy the podcast, and make sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Want to give us a boost? Please leave a review on iTunes or your favorite podcatcher, and we'll be sure to say thank you. Find out everything about us at internalmedicineforvettechs.com. Talk to you next week. Bye.